Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, it's coming. Rod Forrest.
Hampton.
Alshon.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Goss. Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bear.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
All right, even a 23-14 loss opening week, I'm not going to have my enthusiasm taken down just to be looking at you three beautiful people. Hamp and OB with Kaz is back. Presented by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Carman, 23-14, 0-1. And gentlemen, welcome back for season two. And unfortunately, I don't think any of us, I know Hamp, you predicted him to win, but you can't be real surprised about what happened today.
You know, and it's great to be back here on GN with Kaz and OB. I did not expect this. You know, sure, we all, you know, there's a reason there's a point spread. There's certain teams that, you know, are favored. I got it. But you know what? The way we played in the first half, we were not only in this game, we led it. And if it was not for the mistakes, you know, Buddy Ryan used to say, Kaz, for every rookie that you start, you can figure on at least losing one game for that rookie. Let's talk about a couple of the critical mistakes. We're going to have some good discussions about this. But, OB, I just got to tell you, you and I yesterday were at my daughter's volleyball game, and you told me they were starting a rookie center, Cody Whitehead, that had
10 in four exhibitions. Excuse me. 10. He didn't play the final exhibition game. He played basically the first three at left guard. Okay, they don't start Larson, who was a veteran who plays center, and they start him at offensive center. Now, talking about that, Glenn and Dan, here's a kid, white hair. They draft him in the second round. In the second round, we get rid of Slauson, who went to San Diego, who can play guard, left guard, he can play center, and the best, he can play with the best of anybody. We get this kid, and we start him today. Dan, start him in the opener against Texas.
And, by the way, fellas, the game-changing play has something to do with him, but we'll get to that later, Ed.
Yes, we will.
Here's the problem.
Let me just finish there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Folks, in the first three exhibition games, this kid played the amount of basically one exhibition game. In other words, they played the first string through maybe not even the first quarter, second quarter and a half, third game, you play about the middle of the second quarter. Fourth game, he didn't play one play. Not one. Not one. And they start him at center against a defense that ranked third in the NFL last year.
And the strength of the football team of the Houston Texans is the defensive line.
You got
so
it.
So we put our ill-equipped rookie in a position where he is doomed before he even gets a chance to fail.
He has no chance.
Okay, but it was more than that, folks. It was missing the pickups on line stunts and twist with
exactly.
The linebackers that created the opportunity for them to butcher Jay Cutler in the second half, where they basically, you know, were six drives in a row, three and out. But here's the one thing. Let me get the bigger picture. Here is okay. Kevin White, another rookie, he makes a game-breaking mistake by quitting on a route, and Cutler throws it, and, of course, it turns into a pick. But, guys, there's a saying about Texas, all hat, no cattle. John Fox is all hat, no cattle. I don't give a what he did in Carolina. I don't care what he did in Denver. All he's done here is act like he's got everybody prepared, and they're not prepared. They did not prepare in the preseason. Go back, look at the tapes, look at the practice. Yeah. We were not prepared to play today.
What Dan just said, folks, is he's right on. Watch in training camp. They never took a lick. You know, this isn't foosball. This is football, folks.
Not foosball. All right?
You go into training camp, and I don't know how all these Bear players got hurt. I have no idea. Maybe rushing to the cars to go to the bars. They never took one lick in training camp until they went and scrimmaged against New England, folks. Not one. They weren't ready to play. If you saw the exhibition games, they weren't ready. They were just getting knocked all over the place.
The defensive was, line standing was, straight yeah, up.
There was
play
no purpose whatsoever offensively. Are we going to stretch the field? Are we going to stress the running game? They never really tried anything. They just fluffed through it.
And
let me finish. So when you start out and what you saw today, okay, our number one draft choice last year, White, he doesn't know where the hell he is on the football field, okay? You got our offensive line, got eight alive today. I don't want to hear they're all pro, they're all this, they're all world. They're not. They got eight alive. And again, starting a kid who's really basically never played center, and we started him in the first game. And you've got Larson, who has played center for you.
The entire preseason he played center.
Right.
Because Grassou was hurt.
Right. So what you saw today, folks, was go back to training camp, go back to the exhibition season, and what you saw out there today. We got receivers that have no clue of where they're going.
Fellas, here's what we're trying to sum up in a real short sentence. They are in the second game of their preseason as far as preparation goes. So maybe by week four, might be ready to go. You know, the kid that started at center.
Okay, but whose fault is that? Oh, Houston wasn't in their second game of the preseason.
Let me tell you, Dan, I'm going to quote something that really matters to what we're saying. John Elway said this, and it's a direct quote. Foxy can fix things, but he can't get you over the hump.
Well, he hasn't even fixed things yet. Let's be real.
Right. I get that, but you get what I'm saying. What that means is, in essence, what Elway's saying is, look, he knows football. He's always known football, but he doesn't know how to get those guys to take it to the next level, and that's what he was saying, in essence, and that's why he let them go after they went to the AFC Championship game the year before.
You know what? Here, folks, when you have training camp, you've got to engage. This isn't fluff ball. I mean, you've got to engage. You've got to go one-on-one pass protection, one-on-one run protection, one-on-two, two-on-one. It doesn't matter. You've got to hit. You've got to get ready. And I'll double down again saying all you had to do. For you true Bear fans that watch those exhibition games, what did you see? Training camp, they did nothing. What did they do in the exhibition season? Nothing, folks. And guess what you got today? In the second half, when everything was on the line for the home opener, and we were still in the game, we had a chance to win it, and Cutler got killed.
Yes, he did. And when
Texans decided, okay, it's time to play big boy football, we weren't prepared because we never prepared in practice.
We don't do anything, Dan.
Start of the show sponsored by Martin Nissan, Martin Chevy. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz. We're presented by your local Chevy dealers. Texans were unbelievable on third down, or the Bears defense just couldn't get off the field, however you want to play it. 12 for 20 on the day. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You want to get in? We'd love to take a ton of calls. OB, you want to take some calls?
I just want to say to Todd Martin, he jumped on this year. He's got a Nissan store, and he's got a Chevy store out in Crystal Lake. And just, I know he's listening. So, Todd, thanks for jumping on board, buddy.
Todd, we love the Chevy store.
Todd, welcome aboard, Todd. This is 720 WGN. You can also watch us right now on CLTV.
Langford stood up, but gets into the end zone, and Chicago on the board. After the takeaway by Porter, they march 75.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
That was a glorious start. Focus on the positive for 1 second. The Bears actually led 7-0 after one quarter today. You go back to last season, they didn't lead one time
after the first quarter all season long. The Hampton OB with Kaz, by the way, sponsored by Parent Petroleum. And a reminder, this week on Chicago's Best, patty up from big babies to fried behemoths. It's Chicago's Best Burgers, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Guys, let's do the Mueller game-changing moment, which is sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. OB, you're our teed up for our Mueller game-changing moment.
All right, here we go. And by the way, Mike Mueller, hello, I love you, and you're doing wonderful. He's a great guy. He's a great follower of ours. Anyhow, Mueller's changing moment was this. Fourth down in the fourth quarter.
First quarter.
And the first, what, 30, wait a minute. Fourth down, and we're on the 31-yard line going in.
Yep.
Going in.
And we're going, so it's fourth down in inches, folks, and we're going in, and they're going for it. Whitehair doesn't get the ball back to Cutler. Doesn't get the ball back to Cutler. That was the game-changing moment, without a doubt.
And the reason we say this, folks, is we are basically controlling the line of scrimmage, controlling the game tempo, and Cutler would have fell easily for first down. I mean, it was there.
Yeah,
and yet the ball never got up more than about 8 inches off the ground. Okay, and again, the kid's a rookie. Playing in a position he was thrust into, you know, during this last week of practice. We're not really, you know, mad at him. We're mad at whoever the coach is, or acting like coach, that makes a crazy, ridiculous decision to start a rookie against a team like the Houston Texans with Wolfolk, a 350-pound nose tackle. Yet you're asking for, yeah, I mean, you're standing there poking, you know, the bear in the eye. You're going to get bit.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stand by this statement. We did not have the best 11 guys out on offense today.
Yep.
Larson was a veteran. He's played center before. He's the guy that should have started at center today, folks, without a doubt. I don't think I know what I'm talking about. That would never have happened. That was a dumb decision by the Bears, period.
And the second closest game-changing moment, Kaz, was when Kevin White
runs a horrible route. He gets lazy. Doesn't
he blew
realize
the route.
It's a zone. Well, he doesn't realize it's a zone.
He quits on
he
it.
Doesn't think he's going to get the ball thrown to him, so he shuts it down. And the cornerback, who's just in a cover three,
right,
goes running up and catches a ball that was supposed to be thrown to Kevin White. He catches it if he breaks outside. And, oh, by the way, that's a first down if he makes that catch.
So a lot of people thought that he just didn't know the play or ran the wrong route. You're saying he gave up on the play?
I believe, in my opinion, he was to break it out, and he didn't realize it was a zone. I don't know what he's thinking, but he just shut it down.
How about all the above?
Hey, you're going to believe that? Or Cutler in the pocket going, pointing to the outside like, finish the route. And, you know, here's the other part about it. And Cutler almost threw another interception when Kevin White quit on a route with seconds remaining in the game. Okay, it's inconsequential. But the point being is the kid doesn't know what he doesn't know. And how do you teach him? You get him in game situations and scrimmages and then make corrections. But they don't even do anything in situational practices where he knows to be corrected.
You know, here's the thing, folks. This guy sat more on the bench during the exhibition season than anybody, and he's a rookie, and we start this kid at center. But guess what, folks? I think there were some pretty good things out there. On our 3-4 defense, we've been pathetic in the two inside linebackers. I'm going to tell you, Freeman and Trevathan, they did a hell of a job.
Amen.
They were more than respectable. Our defensive line, there was some good pressure by Floyd, and we had from the outside. But the thing I did not like to see on the defensive line by our inside guys, their first move, and Dan, you can hopefully back me up on this one, their first move is to stand up. No, you don't do that. That's why we could not push the pocket back. As the opposite of what they did, they pushed our guys back. But inside, we needed more pressure up the middle. But the good things, our two inside linebackers were terrific, and we had great rush, great pressure from the outside, and our cornerbacks, Glenn, played a damn good game. So I like what I saw there. You can build on that.
And our defensive coordinator kept us in the game. And this is what we're complaining about overall. It's not even Kevin White's fault or the rookie center that was a guard throughout his career that got thrown into the center spot.
No, you're right. It's not his fault.
It's the decision making of the offensive coordinator that decided to put these guys in these positions and not get them enough reps. And so, you know, one of the things that I loved about our D coordinator, he even called out Floyd a little bit, said, you know, look, I know he got a ham. I know he got hurt. I know these things happen. But he didn't get enough reps. He was bothered that this kid didn't get enough reps.
Yeah.
The only coach that apparently cares about reps and getting his players ready.
Let me tell you something. Yesterday, like Dan had mentioned earlier, we went to go see Dakota, his daughter. She plays volleyball for South Florida.
All-conference, I might add, too, with this
tournament, she is.
Right?
Oh, she's terrific. She's beautiful, too, on top of it. You know, Dan's not that good looking. But anyway.
Isn't that weird? Maybe it's ugly makes beautiful.
We're sitting in the stands. Glenn, we're sitting in the stands, Mark. And I told him, I said, they're starting Whitehead at center tomorrow. He said, no, they're not. I said, Dan, they're starting them at center tomorrow. He says, no, they wouldn't start them at center. They got to start Larson. I said, I'm just telling you, buddy, they're starting him at center. Is
I
that not true, Dan?
No, it's true.
I mean, he couldn't believe it.
Guys, nobody in the league would have ever started a rookie against us. It's just you're asking for disaster.
And that was the third-ranked defense in the league last year.
Exactly.
And
but
you're going to put a rookie who hasn't even played the exhibition season at that position?
And we had some good breaks early. Their great middle linebacker, Cushing, Brian Cushing, he comes out with an injury.
That was huge.
J.J. Watt was mortal. He was just a body on the field today. But you know what? Overall, our defensive effort was good enough
to
win.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Cutler played good enough to win. The running game was good enough to win. But we are not good enough to overcome the mistakes and turnovers that these two rookies caused us today.
312-981-7200. Guys, you're mentioning Cutler. Paul's been waiting since the start of the show. Wants to talk about the quarterback. I thought Jay played decent, not great.
Cutler is the guy that kept us in the game.
Okay. Fair enough.
He's the guy that kept us in the game, period.
But bottom line, second half, I mean, he's you got to give him a little bit of the part of that they could not move the football, right?
Yeah, but that's not Cutler. That is, listen, Houston made adjustments, and that's what our offensive coordinator is paid to do also, make adjustments. He didn't. We had six and outs in the second half
That falls on Dow Loggins, who is our offensive coordinator. Romeo Crennel. He's been around forever.
Yep.
Was a head coach in Kansas City, New England, all that. At halftime, they made some. They put the screws to us and crunched and basically said, we're going to compress you and we're going to rush the passer. And guess what? We could do nothing to counter it by getting Cutler out of the pocket. Not one time, OB. Not one single dadgum time.
312-981-7200. Paul, let me get Paul and Joliet here, OB. I know you want to talk to him.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, thank you, guys. Hi, I just want to say hello to everybody. One couple quick questions here. I'm 68 years old. I've been watching the Bears for a long, long time. I've been a Bears fan all my life. But you know what I don't understand is, you know, in preseason and in practice, why the hell didn't they have Cutler playing, you know, at least doing a lot more playing than what he was? I mean, I'm not a big fan of Cutler, but you know what? As seeing Hoyer play, why the hell didn't they throw him in? It's only the first game. You can blame everybody you want, white hair, whoever. But bottom line is, you know, I mean, Hamp, you should know, you know, it comes to the quarterback. He's running that field, so besides the coaches.
But he's.
I'm just leaving it at that.
Thank you, Paul.
But Paul, there's a game plan. He's got to follow that game plan.
He is.
Those plays are sent to him every down, quarter after quarter. That's what it's about. He cannot run his own game, okay? He was told, stick to the game plan, and that's exactly what they did. Whereas Romeo Crennel, defensive coordinator, made the adjustments defensively at halftime, and they stuffed us and smothered us.
And you know what they did more than anything else? I know we got to get to news. I'll just say this. They started stunting through the center in the second half and got to
wouldn't
cover.
You?
Taking
yes,
advantage
of
a weakness.
And that's what they did. And
taking
that's
advantage
why
of a kid that never should have been. I mean, I'm
so
really on this kid, and we are. But you know what? Deservedly so. Not for him, for the stupid coaches that made the decision to put him in there. And again, 16 games and one game you could have had here, and we didn't because of a dumb decision.
Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich, jeffvuk.com, our guy, and serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side, jeffvuk.com. News coming up, and then after 3:30, we'll get into a little more stats. And who lit it up? There's one guy that actually appeared, and he's a favorite of Hamps. The rumor became a reality today, 720 WGN.
Cutler now looking the long ball. That's Alshon Jeffrey down there, and he's got it. And Jeffrey is dragged down at the 19-yard line, and the Bears are going to stop the clock with 13 seconds left at the 18. He beat Andre Howell on the jump ball.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
That's Tom Brenneman, Fox TV. Bears lose to the Houston Texans.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show.
23-14, the final. The Texans 1-0. The Bears 0-1. Who
really?
Yeah. Well, I just
rub that in.
Well, I just had to, you know, get all the stats out there, Ham. Who lit it up? Sponsored by Nika IBEW, Local 134 Chicago. Your complete energy solutions provider. The phone number here is 312-981-7200 if you want to join the show. 312-981-7200. Hamp, last year you were calling him Eddie Rumor, and that was very accurate. But Eddie Royal showed up today. Four catches, 57 yards, found the end zone.
So he became Eddie Reality.
He did.
Cause not only did he return a punt for 31 yards, he had four catches for 57 with a 19-yard as a long gain. Now, guys, I know this doesn't sound like much, but it's as long as he can be involved in the mix, as long as he can stay healthy. And this wasn't a 10-catch, 150-yard game. But we need Eddie Reality to stay engaged, stay involved, because this offense needs him desperately. By the way, he won out as, you know, player of the game over those two inside linebackers you were talking about, OB. Those Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman, they combined for 28 tackles today. They combined for 28 tackles. Now, when you and see, folks, we understand. I wanted them to win, obviously. I felt like they would. They made too many mistakes. But going forward, there's a lot of reasons to believe they're going to win some games. And these two guys in the middle of that defense are such an upgrade over Shea McClellan and Christian Jones or whoever else.
Night and day, Danny.
It's unbelievable.
I tell you what, they defensively, folks, I thought they played good. They played hard. They played tough. You know, that's all in all, would you give them a passing grade? More than a passing grade. The guys that were supposed to show up showed up. And like I say, the only one thing I could see was the guys inside on our defensive line. You got to stay low, folks, and you got to get off on a snap of the ball. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I think we can play with anybody, our defense against somebody's offense. But, boy, that offense today, I cannot retell you when I remember a Bears team, and there's been a lot of them, but this has to be right with a lot of them also, that they were not prepared to win. And that only goes back to training camp and whole exhibition season was absolutely It was crazy. It was
pathetic.
Insane.
It was pathetically
weak. They did nothing.
Well, here's something to keep in mind. Listen, the first half, Bears offense had a good game plan.
Yeah.
Solid, had a lead at halftime. Come out in the second half.
But the game is 60 minutes,
right.
Glenn.
Yeah, no, I get it. And this is what I'm saying. So then in the second half, though, lo and behold, the defensive coordinator, who gets paid money, made some adjustments.
Romeo Crennel.
They
attacked the middle where our rookie center was, and they started getting after Cutler, getting to him. And once you start getting to him, and, you know, he really was hesitant even after he threw that pick to start the third quarter. The next series, he kind of rolled out, and he was going to throw it, but he wasn't sure that White was going to be where he was supposed to, so he tucked it and stepped out of bounds. So it changes everything when you don't do what you're supposed to do.
Well, and what about Alshon Jeffrey dropping that big pass for a first down to keep a drive alive? Again, you know, if you want to put it on somebody, you know, okay.
It's a coaching staff.
Let me try to break this down to folks. You know, as a fireman, you're in fireman school, and you're all there, and the guy's up on the board and going, okay, the 15th floor, there's somebody in there, he's unconscious, you got to pick him up and carry him out, get on the ladder. Okay, you can talk about it in the abstract all you want. Now get up there and pick the body up and try to. Okay, that's sort of like picking up blitzes. That's sort of like teaching receivers how to scramble routes. You know, when a quarterback has got an extra time, how to break and continue on and do what they don't make. They do. We are not prepared, and that's on John Fox.
Yes, well, folks,
John
four
Fox
of us
is
here.
Head coach.
It was so unbelievable. How the offense attacked the Texans today is absolutely it's mind-boggling. That's why you get so damn frustrated. It's unbelievable what we saw. Jay Cutler. Last time I checked, he's got two arms. He's got eyes that he can see, and he's got two legs. How about a bootleg? How about a sprint out? How about move that pocket in four quarters, especially in the second half when they're sacking him left and right? Move the pocket. It's common sense. What tells you to do that? And you got an offensive coordinator sitting there and our offensive coaches, and nobody can figure that out. I'm sitting in the WGN studios, and I can figure it out.
Well, speaking of you sitting in the WGN studios, OB, you're not 25 years old anymore, right? My point is that John Fox, he challenged the long ball to Will Fuller.
Oh, my God.
Which, literally, a blind man could see that ball was caught, and you gave up a timeout.
Somebody upstairs in the booth, one of the spotters or assistant coach, Glenn, or
yes,
one of them,
yeah, they have
called
that
down.
That
goes to the are-you-kidding-me area.
I mean, importantly, listen, Mark, and I know what you're saying, and you're right. It's the entire coaching staff and the way they prepared the team to play today. This is what we're frustrated about. We didn't lose the game because the Bears didn't have enough talent.
Defensively, they were good.
We didn't lose the game today because the Texans, from top to bottom, were better than us. We lost the game today because we were not prepared, and our coaches are responsible for that. Here's a tip for our special teams coach. There's this new rule in the NFL that if you actually field the ball in the end zone, you take a knee. You start on the 25-yard line. Why did we run it out over and over again and start on the 15, the 18, the 20? What am I missing? What is misfiring in these guys' heads that they
arrogance.
Can't figure this out?
Okay, arrogance. And, you know, guys, let's strip it all away.
That is such a great point.
It really is.
I mean, okay. That, you want to know what? So far, that's the point of the day.
Okay.
Wow.
But why are they doing it? Because the coaches think, oh, we've got a better plan. We're going to bust one for 50 or whatever. Okay, that's what they're thinking. That's why they don't tell the returner to do that. Now, why did Cody Whitehair start the football game? Because he's a number two draft pick, and Ryan Pace wants to look like, oh, I'm restocking the shelf, and my job is being done in, you know, great fashion.
You know what, Dan?
Instead of doing what's best for the team, but he signed Larson. I don't understand. But they started a kid that had 10 snaps at that position.
And hardly played at guard.
And he played college at left tackle. But the point being is, at the crucial moment in the game, he was ill-equipped to make the play. And you do not – and I feel bad they put the kid in that position where we're, you know, tomahawking him. But that goes back to Ryan Pace, because apparently he thinks it's real important to get his first-round draft pick, Leonard Floyd, on the field. Real important to get his second round. And, okay, in the big – but you play smart and you play to win. You do not poke a hornet's nest with a stick.
You play your best 11 on both sides of the ball. What I want to listen to or read is if there's one reporter for these newspapers that asked either the offensive coordinator – or our head coach, why did you start Whitehair? Because the facts that I told you people before in this show is true. This guy hardly played, and they start him at center. I want to know if there's going to be one reporter to ask whoever that question, because that's the question to me of the game. What the hell are you people thinking about?
We'll have our own reporter, Adam Hoge, on the show.
He better have asked it, by the way.
Adam, if you're listening, ask him.
Well, I think that press conference has happened, judging by the quotes that are coming out. But maybe Adam got in there. 4:35, we'll talk to Adam Hoge. We could talk to you now, 312-981-7200. We do have to take a real quick timeout. Coming back, we're going to do the defensive star of the game. A bunch of candidates there, and we'll delve in a little bit more on how the rookie, Leonard Floyd, got in there and actually he flashed at least a couple times. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. You can watch us right now on CLTV till 4 o'clock. You can listen to us until 6 on 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Welcome back in here, 720 WGN. We're also on CLTV until 4 o'clock. I'm Mark Carman. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. And the defensive star of the game brought to you by those local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Guys, do you have any problem with Terrell Freeman playing his first game as a Bear? He was all over the field, 17 tackles, 9 of them solo. He had one tackle for loss. I mean, I thought 50... it was impressive today, big time.
Yes, no question about both of the inside linebackers. And again, Porter continues for I mean, I think he's a little oversized for corner, and maybe a kid that, you know, you would say, okay, how is he covering people? He just does it on grit and guts, and he's just a football player.
I mentioned earlier that the two kids inside, my God, compared to the people that we've had here, Bostic, oh, you go on and on. And that Shea McClellan, and finally,
I hear he's doing well at Mariano's right now, pegging.
Jesus.
Sacking groceries.
Everybody loves him.
Anyway.
Akeem Hicks made a play where he forced a fumble, and we can't get to it because, you know.
But our two inside linebackers, which, I mean, they play. You know who also played very good today? I thought Glenn. I think he stepped
Thank
up
you,
to
Ed.
The plate. And he.
Jacoby.
His last name is Glenn.
Yeah, okay.
Not first
gotcha.
Name.
39. 39 was all over your TV screen today if you watched the game, right?
Yeah, he played a hell of a game.
Defensively,
I don't think we're going to have problems, not unless certain guys get hurt. But, boy, fixing that inside, which the Bears did, kudos to that. But, boy, offensively, they absolutely stunk.
What did you guys think about Leonard Floyd? He got credit for half a sack, had 6 tackles. Beginning, it was rough, but I thought he got better as it went along.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And again, just as Kaz said, the development for these rookies, Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, White here, about October, it's like, okay, now they've actually went through a training camp.
They got
to
play, Dan. They got
to
play.
Of failing and then being instructed on as to why you failed. Look, watch yourself on this play. You stood straight up and the guy hits you right in the chest. You're dead. You're stopped. Well, guess what? It takes a little bit of time, especially if you decide not to practice or correct after practice or don't put them in a position where they realize what they're doing incorrectly. Well, it's going to have to come where in the games, which is nuts. And this is why I've been beating the drum about John Fox. And let me just say one thing. I was at the third preseason game. We all know. That's the game where, okay, dress rehearsal.
You let it go.
Let's see it. And here's the deal. Buddy Ryan would say, Buddy, third game, you know, we're the number one defense in football for 2-3 years. I said, how many plays are we going to play in the third preseason game, right? Oh, nobody wants to get hurt and all that. He'd say, you play until you show me you're ready. Now, that could be in the first quarter. That could be in the second. If you're not stopping anybody, you're going to play until the end of the game. Nobody does that here. John Fox, after we got embarrassed, our quarterback got butchered and his leg broke. John Fox after the game going, oh, yeah, well, it's not important. It didn't matter. Well, guess what? Now, after looking at the game tapes of the Houston Texans taking us apart in the second half where we had no counter moves on either side of the ball, it does matter.
Where it did matter, Dan, on both sides of the ball. You have to play. That's why they have an exhibition season. And we don't have guys. White, I couldn't. Here, folks, he's 6'3". He weighs approximately 215 pounds, and he can fly. Did we see him do any post patterns, fly patterns? Did we attack the field? Did we go down the field, even attempt? Did
well,
we move the pocket? And here, We've got White played very little again in the exhibition season, but he did play the fourth game a lot against second and third teamers.
Cutler wasn't throwing the ball to him.
But
that's the problem.
Well, the problem is he didn't know where the hell he was on the football field, and why? Because he's not out there playing.
Now, and
this isn't a mystery, folks.
Yeah, right. And cause this is, and again, quite honestly, cause when you played, we weren't always down 10, 20, 30 points. Like, you know, today we're down 9 points. I hate to say scramble drill.
Winnable.
But it's, hey, fight to get open. Know what, and you have to have a relationship with your quarterback. You have to go through time and time again. Let me tell you a quick story. And this is one reason why he's not here. Martellus Bennett. I was talking to somebody that was watching a practice up in New England. He's up there. We'll watch him tonight with Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. But during practice, they said that he would be kind of loafing and doing kind of goofy stuff, blah, blah, blah. And Tom Brady would be like biting his lip saying, come here, this is what I want you to do. If they do this, you fight to the outside. If they're doing this, blah, blah, blah. And he wasn't even listening. And so don't expect, you know, Tom Brady to really, you know, be looking for Martellus Bennett when he comes back in a month. But the point is, those are the situational adjustments that you make in a practice after physical confrontation where corners are jamming and it's like almost a scrimmage tempo. That's what you do after a preseason game where you've got real live competition where you do. Well, if you're not playing Kevin White, how's he supposed to know today when it matters?
Yep, see, no question.
And that goes back to John Paul.
And here's what I'm going to tell both of you. The only coordinator, the only coach that I heard this week before leading up to the game that was upset about Floyd not being at practice every day and being available for games, our defensive coordinator. He was livid about it. And he said, I don't blame the kid. I know he had a ham, he had this, he had that. But he's saying, if I don't give him reps, he can't play for me. He's the only guy that I heard between Fox, the offensive coordinator, special teams leader, coach. He's the only guy that said, hey, this guy wasn't around enough. It's going to be hard for me to use him and play him.
Yeah, he had a choppy camp. Now, choppy camp to me means, guess what? If he went a first-round pick, he probably wouldn't have been on the field today.
Hey, Peace Pizza, located 1927 West North Avenue. That's the heart of Wicker Park. Rick Nielsen, Cheap Tricks Guitars. He's a co-owner. They brought us in the pizza today. It was delicious. Hampo, did you have a slice?
Let me tell you something. We talk about always trying to upgrade. This was the best pizza. We had it a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And it's much, much better than it was. It was fantastic. OB doesn't eat pizza that much.
He was mowing down today.
Three pieces.
Yeah, that was Pighead was even getting after
today. Who's the kid that owns the pizza store?
You're talking. You're talking about Rick Nielsen,
right?
Cheap Trick,
okay.
Rick Nielsen.
Yeah,
one of the call.
And we're not talking about Kevin White quitting on a route as a cheap trick to Jay Cutler today. Yeah. We're talking about the band. Yeah. I Want You to Want Me. All those great hits. Well, anyway, he couldn't have been better. We had a vegetarian pizza, a bunch of sausage, a jalapeno thing that you liked.
Let's sneak in a call here, guys. Rob in Grays Lake wants to talk about the coaches' challenges, which is an interesting topic. Rob, go ahead. You're on 720 WGN.
Hey, how you guys doing today? First-time caller. How are you?
We're great, Rob. Go ahead, man.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, you know what? I was wondering how come Coach Fox did not make the challenge call in the third quarter when the quarterback ran for a yard. Do you guys even think that they even came close to coming to a first down to get that first touchdown or to get a touchdown afterwards?
That's, Dan, when you said that it was a bad spot, I think.
It was a horrible spot.
Horrible spot, right.
And you know what? And again, you're in the – you know, like in golf, you don't know if you can hit your 3-wood over this water. It's 220-yard carry. Well, he made such a ridiculous call on the catch by Fuller, whether or not it was a legitimate catch. We wasted a timeout. Now he's in a position where he probably's thinking if I blow it, then I lose another timeout. And obviously we needed him at the end because we were down in the second half.
And his comments after, we're going to hear from Fox coming up, but one of the ones that came out of Houston, you don't do too well on the challenges of spots. This is Fox talking to the reporters after the game. They executed their QB sneak a lot better than we did.
Yeah, because you had a rookie at center who didn't snap the ball back, Fox. Let me explain it to you.
Do you know, I'm sure our listeners out there and everybody, that snap, Glenn, Dan, we saw it. He got it back about he knows it's got to get into the quarterback's hands. He knows that, okay?
Rahm Emanuel couldn't have reached down
that
far.
He was about a half a foot short of Jay's hands and let the ball go. Are you kidding me? And I think we have some talent on the offensive line, but, boy, it sure didn't show tonight. And there's only one reason for that in my mind, because they didn't do a damn thing for four exhibition games. And, boy, did it show today. Did it show this afternoon.
312-981-7200. You want to jump on here. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. We're going to hear from John Fox. We'll hear from the locker room coming up after the 4 o'clock news on 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Houston 23, the Chicago Bears 14. Bears start the season 0-1.
Omar,
this is Hamp.
You didn't get that memo? This is still preseason for the Bears.
Oh, okay.
They got one more preseason game, and then they'll be ready to go.
You guys are entirely too critical.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200. We're going to hear from the head coach, John Fox, in a minute. But first, OB.
Before we do that, yes. I've got to make this statement.
Go ahead.
To my friend Mike Benatursky, who played at Illinois State.
Oh, no.
Big tough kid.
The
anyway,
Redbirds. Don't burn the birds.
Illinois State Redbirds beat Northwestern, and that's the first win against a Big Ten team in the history of the school. So, wow, kudos to that. Now, let me tell you how they did it. They won the game 9-7 on an 11-play 71-yard drive with maybe 3-4 seconds left with a field goal, and they beat Northwestern, I believe, at Northwestern.
Yes, I was in the booth last night with
Dave.
So
you talk about a giant win. Congratulations to Illinois State and the Redbirds. Mike Benatursky, congratulations to you, my buddy.
First time they've ever beaten a Big Ten team.
Yeah, first time.
It was brutal.
How many rookie centers did they use?
They have all five. Here's a shocker. All five of their linemen were back starting, which is, you know, think about it in college, that, or in pros for that matter, unusual. Okay. All five of them
You think Northwestern might have been looking ahead, or they just came in and took it to them?
Illinois State's a good football program.
I think they took it right to them.
Yes, they did. Well, that was a veteran club that had a chip on their shoulder, and that goes to show you. Attitude and preparedness wins games, guys. How about that? Attitude and being prepared wins games.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Okay, Ditka.
Thank you very much. Ditka said that?
The coach said it all the time.
It's a Ditka-ism.
Yes.
I feel like I just kind of – I might have upgraded
myself. Poaching.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes,
yeah, what a poacher.
Let's get to the
move call. Along.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Hamp and OB is with Kaz.
He thinks this is the Mark Carmen show.
Yes, he starts going.
I thought I was uplifting the show. Hey, Hamp and OB with Kaz, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. To the calls we go.
The TV's off. Let's go to the
calls.
Yeah,
come on.
All right. Fine. Just relax, everybody. Jimmy Steger. Welcome to 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. What do you got, Jimmy?
Good afternoon, guys. It has been too long since I spoke to all of you. Been great how you guys are. I hope you guys are all and your families are all doing great. Guys, question for you. Please answer this. I don't rip Jay Cutler. I'm not a Bears fan, so I don't rip him because that would be unfair. Guys, can anybody please explain to me why people rip a Jay Cutler when you can't even protect this poor guy? I'll listen to your answer.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Let me jump in here, Jimmy. Personally, myself, I didn't think he was a very good football player. We gave away half a planet Earth to get him, okay, from Denver in the first place. This is his 10th season, I believe. This is the 10th season with us.
Eighth here, 11th overall.
He's 50-48 as a Bear quarterback, we have that out there.
Let me tell you, Jimmy. He got a contract. He was paid more money about 2-3 years ago, more than the guy up in Rodgers.
Brady, like Manning,
over $5 million more than Rodgers, and Brady. I think it was almost $6 million more, and he won nothing. Now, last year with Fox coming in here, somehow they got to this guy. I believe he grew up. He didn't have that herky-jerky face and wandering around on the sidelines like you don't give a damn and hollering and screaming at people. Last year, he grew up. He came to play. He was in it. He'd go at the sidelines. He'd go sit down, sit with the coach, go through the plays that they just ran. He really improved himself. He really did. And I'll tell you what, Cutler this year, he was, hey, if Cutler wasn't out there today, from what we saw, it would have been worse than it was. But I'm a Cutler fan now because of last year. He finally figured it out. He turned, and I think he's a hell of a quarterback, and we can win with him.
Okay, and wonderfully put, OB. Let me just throw this on the pile with the rest of it. He had his career year last year with a 92.3 quarterback rating, which is better than five quarterbacks in this league that have won Super Bowls, how they played. So what do they do? Like, let his coordinator walk. They basically rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. Today, and the starters on the offensive line were completely different than the starting five of a year ago on opening day. They let his franchise running back go out of town. They basically give him a rookie receiver in Kevin White that is prepared to be able to do well. They let his 6'7 tight end walk out of town. So there's a lot of things moving around here, and a lot of people want to still say, oh, yeah, Cutler threw an interception, he fumbled the ball. We all know better. He is doing the best he can with some Gorilla Tape, trying to tape this thing up and get it back together. And I got to tell you how interesting. Next Monday night, Kaz, will be his 99th game as a Bear.
A tribute to Dan Hampton.
A box of donuts, he wins it.
Okay, and look, they got the Eagles coming in, so I believe they will too. It's real simple, though. It's simple economics. He's the highest paid player on the team. Therefore, he's going to get blamed for everything that's wrong.
Well, let's hope they pull it together this week, okay? Get serious about this thing. And I don't want to hear, if I hear this week, that they're giving somebody a veteran day off, or we can't tell you why this guy can't practice because of whatever. I'm going to... I don't have words for it, folks. You listen, the coaches and the staff, this is a game they can win. We have this whole 16-game schedule. If we can put things together, folks, we can win. We can get close to the playoffs, if not get in it. We have the second easiest schedule in the National Football League. And today is a game we could have won. Eagles coming in, we could win that
one. With a rookie quarterback, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
The next two games.
And you want to know what? They better get their stuff together. And if Whitehair, if they look in the films and see what their image is of what a center should be, if he didn't, they better make this change tomorrow and put Larson in there. Because that kid stunk.
And you know what? Shame on them for even putting this kid out in that position. And it wasn't just that.
It wasn't his fault, right?
It wasn't a bobble. But, I mean, he was so unprepared for the stunts. You got to – Romeo Crennel is nobody's fool. He knew exactly where to attack. He did it, and it worked magnificently. One last thing.
Yeah.
I don't know whose desk it is back there by the conference room, but I walked by it, and it basically was a little plaque on it. And it said, I have a highly responsible job. Anytime anything goes wrong, I get blamed. Cutler needs that on his desk.
That's what it is. I mean, he gets blamed for it because he's the highest paid player.
But I tell you what, he made a remarkable change last year, and I'm big on him. I'm a Jay Cutler fan, and he's the guy that can take us. Although I think, what do you put this on, guys? You put this right on the coaches. They can't run. They can't hide. I mean, you staple it right on Fox's head. Sheer stupidity prevailed today. Sheer stupidity prevailed today.
Just for a training camp lesson to what you're talking about, Hampton, then we'll take a quick timeout. Whitehair, he's the fourth guy to hike the ball to Cutler since training camp of this year. This year, Grisou, season-ending injury. Then they had an undrafted rookie, Cornelius Addison, ended up on the practice squad. Then Larson, and now Whitehair. You would think that... Once Grisou went out, you would have a plan go forward, right? So they could build rapport. Does that not make sense?
They had a plan. Slauson was here.
Well, that's
who Kyle Long said he should have been in the Pro Bowl, and we let him go. He could be a Pro Bowler at left guard and at center, and we let him go, and we put this kid in.
And Slauson is doing. I might add, he's doing really fine where he's at right now too. He is one of the mainstays on that offensive line.
You bet he is.
He can play.
living that Cali dream. All right, baseball season's in full swing, and the Chicago Tribune has put together the ultimate crosstown showdown. Head to chicagotribune.com/greatest and vote for Chicago's greatest baseball players of all time, presented by Wintrust. Texans beat the Bears 23-14. What does the head coach think about it? We'll hear from John Fox next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Around the division today, Green Bay Packers get a win on the road at Jacksonville. A lot of people think the Jaguars are going to be improved. 27-23.
Green Bay was at home.
No.
No, it was at Jackson.
Really? Why were they wearing their home colors then?
Home team gets to choose what they want to wear. Apparently Jacksonville wanted to wear the whites. Aaron Rodgers was 20 of 34, 199 yards, a couple of touchdowns, no interceptions. Quarterback rating of 95.1. And the early going here, we've got the Lions are out on the Colts. Hamp, you're not a big fan of Indianapolis this year, is that fair?
I don't know what they're doing down there. The whole team is crumbling. I mean, they're both offense and defensive line are in shambles.
Yeah, Detroit is out early. Score right now is 14-0, 9-11 to go in the second quarter. And Teddy Bridgewater getting injured up in Minnesota, but the Vikings a winner today over Tennessee. Of course, that injury came during training camp, but Minnesota wins today 25-16 over Tennessee on the road. So the Minnesota, for those who wanted to bury them, I wouldn't do that.
Wait till Sam Bradford gets in there. By the way, right now,
maybe
looks
he
like
doesn't though.
We're going to be in the cellar again. First week, 0-1. Everybody else is 1-0.
Let's hear.
Thanks, John Fox. Appreciate you putting that rookie center in there.
Yeah, Sean Hill today, 18 of 33 for the Vikings. No touchdowns, no interceptions, quarterback
Their
rating.
Defense ran a touchdown back on an interception. So, hey, look, that Minnesota Viking team's only going to get better once they figure out their quarterback.
The other thing is the Texans won that football game without their outstanding middle linebacker. He went out in what, the first, second, third play
second
of the game?
Play of the game.
And, folks, this guy can flat-out play.
Brian Cushing. Yeah.
Brian Cushing. He went out. Didn't play again the rest of the game.
Let's hear from our head coach, the fearless John Fox, who says nothing and says it well. Here's Fox after the game.
What did you think was the difference offensively for you guys, particularly in the second half?
Yeah, I think third down was critical. I think time of possession was pretty lopsided, particularly in the second half. We kind of hung in there in the first half as it related to time of possession. I think we were probably more successful on third down in the first half. So I think really the big difference in the game is they were able to convert a higher percentage of third downs than we were.
What did you learn about your team today?
Yeah, I think it's there. I think we haven't been whole for very long, and particularly the offensive line. We just added a guy this past week, that we slid in and kind of juggled two guys. But, all in all, I think the ability's there now. It's just getting on the same page.
John, on the interception, whenever we start the second half, is that did Kevin run the wrong route?
That was just poor execution. I don't like getting into blame games, but it obviously wasn't executed very well.
On the quarterback sneak, they looked like they got a generous spot. Did you consider challenging that spot?
Yeah, I mean, you don't do too well with challenges on spots. I think, if it's not clear cut, it doesn't get changed. But, I liked, they executed their quarterback sneak a little better than we executed ours.
What did you see on your own challenge?
The challenge?
On the catch down the
sideline. Yeah, that was just a long timeout.
Another decision question to go for it on the fourth and eight, mm-hmm. where the center quarterback exchange was funded. What was your thinking there? Not kicking.
Well, I think it's inches. It's inches. And, you'd like to think you'd be able to get that. I think they made a similar call. Like I said, usually it's about execution.
Being aggressive at the end of the first half paid off. What was behind that decision at that point?
We had a chance to take a shot at the end zone. Still enough time to kick, just in case. I mean, obviously you can't throw it in play. And the end zone counts.
Your first and 20 at your own 27. Do you have any thought of, hey, let's just run it up the middle and walk off the field? Or...
Are you talking about for the field goal?
No. At the end of the first half, before the jump ball to Alshon, was there a thought to be conservative and just...
Yeah, I think we were. We ran the ball. I think there was like 1:30 or something to go. So we got it down pretty good. They had two timeouts as well. We didn't want to give it back to them, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah,
No. When you have a weapon like Alshon,
yeah.
Does that encourage you to maybe be more aggressive at the end of the first half than you would otherwise?
You know, I think just the situation of the game, we're always aggressive. Sometimes people think running the ball is not aggressive. I kind of tend to differ. But, I thought we executed very well at the end of the half to end up with a touchdown instead of a field goal.
Now, what do you think of Kevin Wolf's game?
Yeah, without watching the tape, I'm not happy with the game at all because we lost.
What is the importance generally of third downs in the game?
Well, it's time of possession. It's moves to change. Usually it results in points when you move the chains, whether it's explosive plays or, moving the chains on third down. It's arguably the most important down other than fourth down.
Looked like Brock was able to have a fair amount of time in the pocket. Was that a lot what they were doing or your guys were doing?
I think until, it's pretty much we got to throw every play. I thought, I thought we got out the quarterback pretty good. I don't know what the sack total was, but I wasn't unimpressed with our pass rush.
What do you see
in Floyd? Like a lot I've seen, even before we got him as a Bear. I think he's explosive. Obviously, he's young, learning the defense, and I've been impressed with his progress, and I thought he played okay today.
How much of the line struggles can just be attributed to needing more time together?
I think, it's probably those struggles that occurred a little bit more in the second half, especially when you get into, kind of backyard football where you got to throw it to catch up. So I'm sure without seeing the tape, again, you feel that they're a talented front. Whenever you get to, one dimensional like that, I think it's problematic for most anybody.
That Langford got almost all the touches just because you liked what he was doing and was there, not only the rest of the ball.
No, it wasn't that kind of game. It wasn't one of those where we ran it 35 times. So I don't think we didn't need to spell a whole lot because of the fronts we were seeing and the type of game it became.
Overall thoughts on Jay's play?
I don't like to evaluate people in the press. None of our performances were good enough today.
So there you go, John Fox. A couple highlights there. We brought in a new offensive lineman this week, so there's adjustments there. I mean, he just kind of made Josh Sitton out to be just like a seventh round pick who they got off the scrap heap. I mean, you brought in a Pro Bowl offensive guard. So there's that. The challenge on the spot, he basically said it was a long time out. Like, he wanted to get his guys some rest. I was kind of thinking that at the same time, like, you guys are tired, it's late in the game, maybe that was the reason, because it certainly didn't make sense to challenge a ball that was caught clearly that everyone could see. It didn't really add up. And he kind of called out the pass rush there. He said he was unimpressed with the Bears' pass rush, which is very rare that he would even say something like that.
Well, I mean, what we were unimpressed with, Mark, was his ability to motivate and coach the team. And that is why they lost today. So, yeah, that's great, John Fox, that you can see the world the way you do. And until he actually starts seeing it correctly, Ed, this is going to be a long year.
Yeah, what I saw a little bit different. I saw we had pressure from the outside, and the only thing our inside down linemen standing up too high. But we have people that can get down low and get it done. I'm not worried about that. What I would like to see him do, which I thought they would do more of today, is blitz. Now, if you watch the game, they pretty much went with three and four down linemen. They really didn't blitz a lot. When you play that 3-4 defense, it's all about confusion and pressure, and we didn't put enough pressure. We didn't get in Osweiler's face. This is, I believe, only his second year, and that's the first start this year. And I think we should have blitzed them more, Dan and Glenn, and I think we should have went after him, and we did not do it. We let him sit back there and kind of pick us apart, so to speak.
Well, there's no question that – okay, again, Brock Osweiler came in here last year, and it was his first ever start in the NFL. Now, he got seven of them last year before they benched him for old decrepit pizza boy Peyton Manning. Now, this is his first start ever with the Houston Texans. Well, he's got some pretty good talent on the outside to get the ball to. But I understand, I'm a big fan of Vic Fangio's, but I agree. I don't know why we blitzed a time or two with the safety, and Osweiler was able to beat us, get the ball away. And so I think we got a little gun-shy. But the other part is, hey, our two corners, Fuller went out of the game, and then Jacoby Glenn went out of the game. Now he's worried. He don't want to put his corners on islands. by blitzing. So the game kind of dictated us out of that.
But, Dan, that's the kind of quarterback you blitz. That's the kind of guy you go after is Osweiler. He hasn't played that much. He's played a few games. And the opening game, and I tell you, we should have went after him, come hell or high water, blitz the hell out of him, because that is the reason why you play a 3-4 defense. Again, confusion, and pressure.
Two sacks the Bears had on the day for 16 yards loss, and Cutler was sacked 5 times for 31. All right, Adam Hogue was covering the game down at NRG Stadium. We'll talk to him from Houston next. Bears lose to the Texans 23-14. News is also straight ahead, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
The Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Gotta say, I really do enjoy the time off the air with the Hamp and OB and Kaz company. It's a... I feel under attack. Got to be honest. It's a very difficult position, this seat. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local
Chevy. You wear it well, though.
Thank you. You stop praising yourself, all right?
I got to do it when you're just nonstop attacking
you're
me.
You're fighting off three gladiators or something? Give me a break.
Ed, did you hear it's the Mark Carman show? You didn't hear the intro?
I mean, I love him.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Get on with the show,
okay,
will you?
All right, we're going to talk to Adam Hogue in 5 seconds, but Willie on the south side has been waiting since yesterday, so we'll bring him in here, 720 WGN at OB's request. Hey, Willie.
Hey, guys.
Yes, Willie.
I don't know if anybody brought this up, though. I mean, this is a game, they should have won. The game they should have won. They had a 14-13 lead, if I'm not mistaken, in the third quarter. And this is particularly to me is about the coaching.
Yep.
Now, it was off the bottom 37, 38 yard line, if I'm not mistaken. Man, they got the lead, man. There's a big difference between having a lead and losing. That way the defense can start just teeing off on you. Now, they had the lead. Now, why not try to kick a 54 yard field goal instead of punting? My opinion, man. You cut Robbie Gould, right? Because he was messing up. Don't get me wrong, he was messing up a lot. But this guy can kick over 50.
Yep.
I mean, why are you punting?
It's a good
Willie,
point. Good
okay,
point.
Willie, here's a better one.
Thank
Instead
you,
of going for it, on fourth down. No, that was third down.
Fourth down.
No, it was
okay.
Fourth.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, exactly. On fourth down, when we had the bad exchange between center and quarterback, it was on the 31-yard line. If you want to kick a field goal, Kaz, do my math for me. It's 48 yards, right?
Yes.
48
yes.
Today in ideal conditions down there at the Reliant Dome or whatever it's called.
NRG. Could have the debut of Connor Barth.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's 48-yard another field opportunity.
Goal, that's like a 2-foot putt, okay? But they didn't want to. They opted to go for the first down.
What'd you
okay?
say? What'd you
but
say
wait a minute.
Now?
Wait a minute. Why didn't they want to go for it? And I'll tell you why. Because Ryan Pace and John Fox don't want the egg on their face when their kicker misses from 48. Everybody in the world would be screaming at their radio, at their TV, you cut Robbie Gould. Now this bum missed a 40. So they weren't even going to put him out there in that position. They weren't going to do that to Connor Barth. But they instead put their second round draft pick out there to get lambasted by the Houston Texans.
Hamp, if you're correct on that,
would be the reason though?
Who's scared
like
of a 48 yarder?
I understand.
Every kicker in the league wants that.
I agree with you, but boy, if in fact you're right, that is disgusting.
Well,
are you kidding me? Boy, you want to talk about the wrong coaching staff?
It's called politics.
To go along with what the hell ever else happened today. Wow.
Hey, Willie, for being patient, we're sending you Talking Football Hall of Famers Remembrances in 3 volumes. David Spada, Elliot Harris, they interviewed 126 Pro Football Hall of Famers who talked about their careers in college and the pros. You can find it on Amazon. So for being patient, you get a copy, sir. Let's bring in our guy Adam Hogue, who was down in Houston. And first, Hoagie, bring us the injury report, which is brought to you by Rogers Auto Group in the new South Loop. How did the Bears come out of this health-wise?
Pretty clean from that standpoint. John Fox didn't give us any injury updates afterwards.
which I guess doesn't necessarily mean anything because it's John Fox and injuries. I did see Harold Jones-Corte head to the X-ray room after the game, but I don't think there was anything big there. So pretty clean from that standpoint if you're looking for a positive.
Adam Hogan, the locker room, sponsored by C.J. Wilson Mazda, online at ZoomNation.com. So locker room, Adam, take us in there. I guess Cody Whitehair took responsibility for the mishandled snap with Jay on the fourth down play?
He did, he did. And I don't think that's surprising. It's usually on the center. Jay appreciated Cody doing that. He also said that it takes two to complete a snap, which is also true. But look, you guys were just talking about that play, and that was one of the plays in the game that I sort of had a problem with. I just thought for a rookie who's never played that position before, who did not play that position in the preseason, that you're throwing out there against one of the, you know, top front sevens in the entire National Football League. He's got Vince Wilfork staring him down on a fourth and one early on in his first game. I'm not saying you expect a bad snap there, but you can't be surprised by it, right?
Yes.
And so I add that to the whole idea of, well, you just brought Connor Barth in here too at the 48-yard field goal. Kick the field goal. I just thought that was asking a lot from your rookie center in that tough position there.
Hey, Adam, did anybody ask why they started him at center? Because, I mean, again, this is the three of us. We're trying to figure out what Fox and company is seeing that they would want to run out a young kid like that that hadn't played that position.
Adam, well, Adam, answer, Adam, I'm going to tell you something. In my mind, that entire game, offense, defense, special teams, the one question that I would ask Fox, what the hell were you thinking about starting a kid that basically has never played that position against the third-ranked defense from last year, Texas, and against Wilfork, who weighs what, guys, 350, 360?
It might be 350, 360.
I mean, they've got a great defensive line. What were you thinking about when you have Larson, who has actually played the position? To put that kid out there was a giant mistake. And my question, Adam, did anybody ask him that question?
Well, it wasn't asked specifically because I think we all understood it. Ted Larson was bad in the preseason, and they signed him to be a backup. So if you don't have many good options, I don't mind starting a rookie who you think is going to be a pretty good player. And actually, I thought overall Cody Whitehair played pretty well today. That bad snap was a problem. There were times where they struggled with stunts, especially in the second half. But I think that had something to do with Josh Sitton joining this team just 8 days ago, too, and not being completely.
No, Adam, they ran right up the center. I mean, they came right over the center. That's the center. He's kicking it off to the guard. That's BS. That's a cop-out. No way.
Well, I think they both struggled with it. That's what I'm saying. And I think that goes along with you're playing a rookie. I'm just saying, I don't think Ted Larson is going to do any better in that situation. That's just my personal opinion. I just don't think he's all that good. Now, if you want to have a larger discussion about the moves that the Bears made to improve that offensive line, and that's something I've been harping on since even way before Hronis Grisu got hurt at the beginning of the preseason, I just did not think there was enough depth here to begin with, and I never thought they should have let Matt Lawson go. That goes all the way back to May now. So I agree with you for the most part. I just don't think that they had many other options, and they really do believe Cody Whitehair is going to be a good player, and I think he is too, so I understand them throwing him out there into the fire today. Look, that was a theme today, guys. Leonard Floyd, what was he doing out there as much as he? He had a terrible preseason. Lamar Houston, I thought, looked good in the preseason, and he couldn't even get on the field in the first half. I don't understand
that. Hey, Adam, he's
trying to get his first round, his second round out there on a roster so where he can, when he goes to the cocktail parties, he can say, oh, yeah, my one and two and my fourth-round corner and all these guys, they're starting. But wait a minute, you're 1-7 as a football team. What's the idea here? What's the end game? OB put it succinctly. You play your best 11. Cody Whitehair wasn't the best center to play today. Let me ask you another question. Is Connor Barth, he's got a bad leg? Is he gimpy? Is he sore? Why didn't we try to kick a field goal from the 31 instead of going for it? What, we don't have any confidence in this kicker? I maintain they didn't want to send Barth out there and him miss it, and then they be lambasted for cutting Robbie Gould. And The last time I checked, you look in the newspaper tomorrow. See how many kicks were made outside of 48 yards. There'll be probably a dozen. It's not that hard.
Well, yeah, it's the NFL, and you're expected to make kicks from that distance in the NFL, no question about it. And I don't know if that played a role or not. Maybe it certainly would have looked bad if he misses that field goal. John Fox after the game just said it was, you know, it's fourth and inches, and he's trying to go for it there. And, you know, in a normal circumstance, I don't have a problem with it, except for, again, we just talked about Cody Whitehair and that being kind of a tough spot.
Okay, whoa. You don't have a problem, you know, for him going. You ever heard of Vince Wilfork? You ever seen Vince Wilfork? You ever? Did you ever feel him walk by? I mean, he's 350 pounds. He's right on the nose, and this little narrow can rookie's got to think about snapping the ball and moving him. Now, I wouldn't put you in that position, and yet, John Fox has no problem doing that. Why wouldn't he run the kicker out? Why wouldn't he expect a new kicker to make a 48-yarder?
I agree with you, Hamp. I think that that's the move there, especially with the rookie center. I think that's absolutely the move. Let me try to give you some other answers to that, some questions I had. Okay, why did he not challenge the snap on that quarterback sneak from Brock Osweiler? His answer wasn't a very good one. He just said normally with those, you don't do too well challenging snaps. I thought that one was one where you maybe could have won it, though.
Tell Ron Rivera that against the Denver Broncos when he challenged that and won it, right? I mean, that's so ridiculous. And I guess where we're going with this, Adam, we're frustrated because we don't feel like the coaching staff, with the exception of the defensive coordinator, gave this team today a chance to win. I mean, Kevin White, you didn't see him all preseason. He played in the Cleveland game. That was great. But he played with the quarterbacks that aren't going to play in
Ryan
the game.
Hoyer,
I mean, it's
who
like
we never want to see.
What is this process of running out these young kids that have no practice time or experience with the ones? I know Kevin White's supposed to be spectacular, but look at clearly he ran a poor route or didn't know what he was doing on that pick that started the whole second half.
It had David Terrell written all over it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, Kevin White's not ready. Leonard Floyd's not ready. I don't think there's any question. Cody Whitehair was not ready to play center.
Okay, now who makes that decision?
Well, the head coach does.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you. I already wrote this down.
Hey, Adam,
I'm writing after the game. I agree.
Hey, Adam,
not have a good day.
Here's the other question too. On kickoff return, isn't there a new rule in the NFL that you could actually start on the 25? Did we not get that? Did our special teams coach? Did he not get the memo? Was he golfing that day when that memo came over? Hey, you get to start on the 25. You don't have to run it out anymore.
I'm with you on that one, too. That was driving me crazy during the game. I mean, any team, first of all, the Bears are not good at returns anyway. But seriously, I think any team in the NFL right now, unless you have a Devin Hester, which Devin Hester is not even Devin Hester anymore. There are none of those guys really anymore. If you catch the ball in the end zone, if a team is dumb enough to kick it into the end zone at this point, take the ball at the 25.
Right. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. It's so bizarre.
Since you brought up Devin Hester, just a moment of glory. The 31-yard punt return for Eddie Royal today, that was the second longest since the Devin Hester era. Bryce Callahan had a 34-yarder last year, Hamp. So you should celebrate that. Eddie Rumor became royalty with that punt return.
No, it became reality. Yeah. Eddie Reality now.
Hey, Adam, here's a Mark Harmon question for you. Eddie Royal's been concussed 1,000 times. When he makes a play, can't there be a rule, don't slap him in the head by everybody on the team? How about in the shoulder?
Yeah, butt and shoulder region. Yes. That should be a rule from now on.
Put a little thing on his head.
That is actually one of my pet peeves, Carb, in football in general. And sometimes in baseball, too, when a guy is like, you know, made a tough play and he gets up and you just start whacking him in the head. It happens all the time. And I'm like, I really don't think you should be doing that.
I mean, this guy hasn't been able to think
for a year. Adam, what were the positives? What are things that Bear fans can take away from this? Yeah, it's a tough loss, but what are the positives? What are we building towards besides the fact that we get the Eagles next week?
Well, no, I think there are positives because I think that there's – especially in the areas that we've been talking about here for the last 10 minutes or so. I mean, you're talking about a lot of young players that should get better as they get more experience. I mean, these guys just haven't played. I have huge questions about Kevin White right now. I really do. I think he has talent. He should have a better grasp of the playbook at this point than he does, but he needs to get out there and play to be able to get these things. So that's just, those mistakes should get better. On the interior of the offensive line, I don't like how the tackles played today, and they should be better. Charles Leno and Bobby Massey should be
Bobby Massey should be benched, and they should bring in Adams, the kid we picked up from
Pittsburgh. Mike Adams, he's
much better pass protector.
And maybe that's something they think about down the line. But on the interior, I mean, sitting playing, you know, he's a veteran, but he's learning a whole new playbook this week and hadn't been out there in this offense before. And then Cody Whitehair is only going to get better, too. So I think there's some positives there. The way I look at this game as a whole, I was not surprised by the outcome at all. I thought they were competitive, but not good enough, right? Not good enough yet. And I think they're a very young football team. They started three rookies today. They started two guys that hadn't been on this team until 8 days ago. And then a bunch of other rookies like Jonathan Bullard and DeAndre Hall played significant time too. So when you're going up a playoff against a playoff team in the Houston Texans, and this is a playoff team, they were last year, they have a good chance to win the AFC South this year. That's a lot to ask, I think, in week one. So the fact that they didn't get blown out or look like some of those preseason games we saw a few weeks ago, I think that is a positive.
Adam Ho, great job. We'll read you at WGNRadio.com, and we'll be hearing you on the station tomorrow as well. Hoagie, great work.
All right, good talking to you guys again.
That's Adam Hoag down in Houston. We'll be covering the Bears all season long, as you know, and check him out, WGNRadio.com, Adam Hoag's Bear Blog. Tremendous coverage. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive, patient-centered healthcare experience at their family medicine clinic, their speech-language institute, physical therapy institute, dental institute, and eye institute. At their clinics, you'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care.
I got one last question. Why is Ted Larson on this team?
Well, good question.
If you won't play him, and instead you start a kid that's never played a position in the home and a road.
That's a great
opener.
Question.
Why is he even on the damn team?
It's a fair call. All right, quick timeout. We'll take your calls coming back here. 312-981-7200. Keep you updated on the scores as well. With you until 6, Bears are 0-1 after falling to the Texans 23-14. It's 720 WGN.
Well, it's coming.
Rudd Forrest.
Hemp.
Oh, Sean.
Dan Hampton.
Cos, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Cos.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
OB Show with Cos, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Bears do lose to the Houston Texans 23-14. We're going to hear from Jay Cutler in a matter of moments here, but first, the drive of the game is sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. And guys, I mean, let's be real. It started beautifully.
Yep.
You had a phenomenal pick on Brock Osweiler. DeAndre Hopkins had the football. Tracy Porter wrestled it away. And the Bears went 8 plays down the field, 75 yards. And they get in the end zone, 7-0. And they Hamp,
I would say this, Mark.
Yeah.
That was the drive of the game. And if you think about it, the way they've approached everything, John Fox and company, let's just call it John Fox and company. We all agree on that?
Sure. Okay.
This was the best drive that the Bears first team has had all preseason. Well, this was the one. Oh, wait, we're in regular season. That's the problem.
But this is really, it's co-preseason with them. These games don't matter until October. They're not going to start counting.
By week 3, we'll be fully ready to go full speed, right?
That's the dress rehearsal when we play Dallas. That's the game.
That's when we're ready to go.
He wants to show what we got.
I thought that you guys would be pleased, though, with the they rammed it in with Langford. You didn't see that a whole lot last year, right?
Look, this team is not incapable of playing good football. But you got to play the best 11 players. You got to prepare the best 11 on both sides. And you got to give them a chance and make adjustments. Something we did nothing about in the second half. I'm thinking it was Dow Loggins, the new offensive coordinator, the diminutive Dow Loggins, even awake. Was he awake? Did he happen to notice Romeo Crennel was, you know, putting the screws to us by doing a lot of interior line stunts with linebackers blitzing? And if we could have got Cutler out of the pocket, wait a minute, Ed, would that have could?
Oh, how about this, guys?
Do you want Why do you want Cutler to run away from punishment? Why would you want to let him get away?
Why would you want to do that?
Or how about this, Ed?
Number one, it's smart. Number two, how about he can do it? And how about number three, he's an accurate thrower when he's on the run. Why that is not every week in our game plan, I have absolutely no idea. But again, my main theory, my main thought of this game was your coaching staff, you put your best 11 out there. They did not do that.
Some of the stats, I'm just looking at kind of recapping it here. Cutler was 16 to 29. He had some drops too. Alshon had a brutal drop. Alshon himself caught four balls for 105. I'm assuming you guys were happy seeing the in the first half they go deep down the field. OB, you were screaming about that a lot last year. Throw the ball down the field. They did it at least a couple times today.
But he didn't play enough in the preseason, Jeffrey. And when he did, he dropped the ball. So look, if you're not getting enough reps and you're still dropping the football, there's a good chance, Ed, that what's going to happen at some point. You're going to drop the ball again, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it just happens. It's mind-numbing how these guys didn't prepare this team to at least come out and perform at their optimal best, right?
Well, you know what? It just goes back. It's just philosophy, and I don't know what has gone on. I go back to 1985. When the great Dan Hampton was on that team and they won the Super Bowl and they destroyed everybody, arguably the best team to ever play the game, put together, okay? And they played New England and they dismantled them. And I go back and I think about it all the time. Look at the road the Bears took from then and look at the road New England took. They have a head coach up there that had no nonsense, absolutely no nonsense. And look at where we're at. It's very bothersome.
Yep.
It really is.
312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz right now, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Let's sneak in a call here from Des Moines, Iowa. Jeffrey, you are on 720
WG. Very nice.
There you go. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey, guys. We got a recent string of some questionable first-round picks. Wanted Ha-Ha Clinton Dix over Mr. Fuller a few years back, and every time I see him play, it's for the Packers, it's a little depressing. But the other thing I want to mention is Cutler was 16th in the league last year. So, you know, we can talk about that, you know, he was exceptional and it was best year and everything. But 16th is still pretty average, you know, and that's for the NFL that, you know, that'll get you to 7-9 and 9-7. Maybe not that much more than that.
Well, the problem will always be Jeff,
Thank you.
It's real simple.
The offensive line.
Even beyond that, how many teams in the NFL today would not take Cutler immediately and start him? Maybe five, Dan, right? Four or five teams that say we like our guy better than Cutler. So that means there's 26 teams.
I don't know
that
if it's
like
only five
Cutler. Well, who? I mean, honestly, you go through it. Okay. I mean,
I'll tell you this. There's a rating system that's pretty good, Pro Football Focus. Cutler was ranked, as the gentleman said, 16th. So he's dead in the middle. But here's the thing. How many of those 15 above him have had six offensive coordinators in the last 8 years? How many of those guys above him have had the wholesale changes on the offense? Again, the five guys starting on the offensive line today, were not the five starting last year at those positions. So we always hear about, Dallas's offensive.
They weren't even the five that started during the exhibition season.
The last,
exactly.
Yeah. I'm just week saying. Three of but, the preseason.
But Leno, he wasn't a starter until halfway through. Long was at right tackle. Dukas and these other guys were at guard with Slauson moving to center. It's so. And again, how good can you be? I don't know. We can kick this around about whether Cutler is a good quarterback or a potentially great quarterback, whatever. All I know is he cannot, and very few quarterbacks could, very few can overcome the mistakes that are made by a lot of the other players on the offense and by the head coach by putting a guy out there at center, snapping a ball to him, play after play after play, trying to protect this quarterback that has never played the position before. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. That's right, Kaz. He played 10 plays. 10 plays. 10 plays. 10 plays.
That falls under to what did you think was going to happen?
Quarterbacks that were ranked ahead of Cutler
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say to you, and it's real simple. It really is. To me, it's pretty simple. From a standpoint of this is who you have, this is who you're going to war with, and he isn't the reason you're losing games, and he isn't the reason you lost today. It wasn't Jay Cutler's fault. He didn't drop balls. He didn't have a snap that was a half a foot short to him. So to pin it on Cutler is just ridiculous, and I can't believe I'm defending Jay Cutler. Because I'm in Ed's camp, and Ed, I know you've converted to Cutler. I still haven't.
Right.
I thought he was a disaster from the jump.
Never Cutler?
I never. I mean, I've never wanted to support the guy, but here I am actually defending this guy because, quite frankly, it's not fair or just
what
people are saying about the guy.
Here, today, at halftime, they made the adjustments. Okay, it's the third quarter. You're in the middle of it. You're late in the third quarter. Your quarterback's getting killed. You can't convert on third down. Don't you have the ability to make the change on the run? Okay, plan A's not working. Plan B's not working. Don't you have C or D?
But it's only the
third
game.
Don't you move Cutler out of the pocket? Right. Don't you try something to get, because they were coming from everywhere. I'm talking about Texas, coming from everywhere to get to Cutler. My God, change it up.
Hey, but, you know, Ed, patience. We'll get to that later on in training camp.
Yeah, once we get through preseason and get into the regular season. And how about
once
screens?
We get through September?
How about screens?
It's a joke. I mean, we're being facetious. Folks, we're disgusted. And you know what, John Fox? You should be disgusted with the fact that you didn't give this team a chance to win today.
How is it, again, I want to say it again, that we couldn't make a change? You mean you go through the first half, this is what's happening. They came out, not unless you're in a complete moron, and you can't figure out what the hell Texas defense is doing against us, and then we don't have an answer for it? That's the big question. We didn't have an answer for it. And the question is, why? Why? There's not a higher league than what we're playing now. These are the head coaches. These are the great coaches in the world that we have here. How could you not? They come after you. How do you not have the ability to change on the run?
This is Division II NFL head coaches we've had.
Did I make sense?
Yes, 100%.
It does.
Well, 6-3 and outs means probably, Mark, you didn't make the adjustment, right? When you go 6-3 and outs in the second half, isn't that not making adjustments?
That is a fair assessment of what happened. Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, Eli Manning.
You take Eli Manning over Jay Cutler right now.
I think it's a toss-up.
Okay.
Right?
Even Drew Brees at this point, because they don't win. He lost more than Cutler lost last year, right?
Jameis Winston.
Winston over Cutler?
Right now, if I could have him going forward, I'd make that trade in 5 seconds. The guy had 4 touchdown passes today.
Well, of course you would. He's only 20-some years old.
Young. Okay, fair enough. Keep going.
Cam Newton.
Well, I'd take Cam, right?
Roethlisberger. Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers, for sure.
Alex Smith's a toss-up, right?
Oh, no way. I think Kansas – Andy Reid would take Jay Cutler tomorrow over Alex Smith.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Andy Dalton.
I would take Jay – if I'm in Cincinnati, I'd want Cutler over
Those guys, they don't want to play with him.
Yeah, well, Dalton's been...
They know what he is. He's 0-5 in the playoffs.
Dalton's been up and down. Stat-wise, he had a much better year, but he's also on a way better team. So, all right.
Oh, it's an awesome team.
Yeah, so, okay. All right, we'll hear from Jay Bird coming back here, and I'm not trying to attack Cutty. He was the MVP of the team last year.
You know,
there's
I'm defending Cutler, and I've been his biggest, critic.
Detractor. And by the way, he was voted a captain.
Yeah.
So, take that.
Yeah, well, Alshon was too. Yeah. Which was interesting.
Where did he receive the news? In the hot tub or the cold tub?
You know what, guys?
He was actually sipping a cocktail at the pool when he got the news.
Yeah. You know what? Getting back to this game and talking about it.
You're taking this real serious, aren't you?
You're damn right I do.
Get him hooked up.
There's basic things on both sides of the ball, Glenn, Danny, that you do, and you don't have the luxury of a ton of games, you know, and months of playing a professional sport. It's very short, and my God, you go into a game, and not everything's going to work to perfection every game you go into, every quarter, every half. It's not, and how they couldn't combat what Texas did befuddles me. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me that we did not have an answer. They changed. They figured it out, and we didn't have an answer. We didn't come back with a change. And to me, that's totally and completely not acceptable.
That's what
the hell happened out there today. They couldn't combat what they were doing.
They cheated. 312.
They made adjustments, those jerks.
312-981-7200. We'll hear a little bit from Cuddy and do our quarterback comparison coming back. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Indeed, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's do our quarterback comparison. It's sponsored by Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford, where straightforward people and straight Ford prices are just a whistle away. Yes, OB?
Yeah, I just want to give a little shout-out to Westfield Ford.
I bet you do.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you got?
Sal Katroki, the owner, and Karim Scarpace, I'll tell you. Two great guys. They've been in the business a long, long time. Wonderful dealership. Good people. Welcome aboard. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, go be with a big smile on that one. Brock Osweiler today for the Houston Texans, 22-35, 231 yards, couple of touchdowns, had the one interception, which they were killing him on the broadcast. Osweiler, why would he throw that? That was an incredible play by Tracy Porter. I didn't think it was really a bad throw at all. And then Jay Cutler today, 16-29. 216 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. The interception not his fault, with Kevin White doing something that Cutler was not expecting. Although Cuddy did say after the game today that the ball did come out of my hand, so he takes accountability being the good teammate. Let's hear real quick from the fearless leader, Jay Cutler, 6 in his 8th season with the Bears, 50-48 now as a starter. Here's Cutler after the game.
You know, we weren't executing. They weren't doing anything all game. They kind of stuck to who we thought they were. You know, get home with 4 or 5. You know, play their coverages, play a little bit of man, quarters. They rolled the owl a little bit there with some random downs, but, you know, nothing that we weren't prepared for.
That interception with Kevin, what happened?
You know, I'll talk to Kev about it, and you know, first game out there, but it left my hands, my responsibility, so it is what it is.
Can we talk to you a little bit about the second team of the city game? Mm-hmm. Regular season, the stakes are high, the emotions are high.
Yeah.
How do you balance the patience with a player like that with the emotions of what's reality out there?
We need him, and you know, he's gonna be fine. You know, we're not worried about him. We like our group of receivers out there. I thought they made some plays for us. You know, there's a few times I needed to give them a better balls and let them run. I'm going to play better. As a whole offense, we're going to play better. You know, we just got to take a look at the film and then move forward.
How do you push yourself to continue having trust that he's going to be that guy that everybody envisions if it's not happening necessarily soon?
I wouldn't say it's not happening after one game. You know, we targeted Al a lot, and that's kind of what the game plan was. You know, he got a few balls his way. Kev did. Eddie had a few balls his way. You know, the way the game plan went, we wanted to try to run the ball against that front and throw the ball and try to be effective on third down. And you know, in all phases, we kind of struggled with that.
What happened on the fourth and one?
That's with me and Cody. You know, we just got to get that that center QB down, and you know, and not put him on the ground. So it takes two to make that work.
Why blame himself for that fumble? Yeah. Circumstances.
Cody's going to. That's the type of guy he is. You know, he's a team guy. It means a lot to him. You know, I've spoken about him at length, and you know, that's why we love him up there, and that's why he can be a really good player.
So there's a little Cuddy for you as he backs up both Kevin White, Cody Whitehair, as the Bears lose to Texas 23-14.
I mean, leader of the team, that's what he's supposed to do.
Right. Yep. Right.
And you know what? You commend him. I could not detect any hostility.
Right.
I would have some, I'm sorry to say, you know. But I'm thinking, you know, early in the game, we actually were making plays. And a lot of these guys making the plays, they didn't really participate in the preseason. Now, think about this. Porter was hurt. He was out. He made a great play on an interception. Eddie Royal had a punt return for 31 yards, caught a touchdown. He was out all pre. So I'm starting to wonder, what were all the guys doing that were in preseason games contributing and doing? You know what I'm saying? The playmakers out, they were all hurt. So it befuddles me. I don't, you know, and we've all said this. And the caller, Willie, said, hey, we played well enough to win. We should not have lost. But the facts are the facts. We lose the game. And mistakes and a failure to recognize and adjust prohibit us from ever having a chance to get back in the game. By the way, Kaz, you're talking about three and outs. Here's the drive chart for the Chicago Bears in their season opener at Houston in the second half. Interception, punt, 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 punt. Run out of downs.
So they went three and out, five in a row with a pick, right? So six three and outs, basically.
Well, basically, yeah. Running it out on downs at the end. So it was 6-3 and outs after the interception.
Wow.
And anybody wants to tell me
these things happen.
And you know, hey, you guys know me. I'm a Cutler guy. He's saying, oh, nothing we weren't prepared for, blah, blah, blah. Well, you may have been prepared for what they're doing, but your contingency plan was not put into effect.
That was painstakingly obvious. All right. Right. Outcoached coming out of halftime. We've hit on that a bunch today, and I think it's very, very spot on. Give credit, I guess, to Romeo Crennel, right, Hamp? A guy who's seasoned vet, been around, knows what he's doing.
He's been around the league a long time. But, yeah, come on. Hey, this was the number three defense in football last year. Joseph is one of the best corners, made the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
They got J.J., they got this guy, they got Whitney Merciless, who had 12 sacks. They got players. And you know what? Coaching really accentuates that.
Quick timeout. News is next. We'll go around the NFL. We'll get you set up for the Eagles. And, you know, there's some – listen, you look at the schedule coming up, there's reason for at least moderate optimism. Let's put it like that.
This first game was.
That too.
Okay.
All right, 720 WGN.
Cutler now looking the long ball. That's Alshon Jeffrey down there. And he's got it. And Jeffrey is dragged down at the 19-yard line. He beat – Andre Howell on the jump ball.
You know, I think just the situation of the game, we're always aggressive. You know, sometimes people think running the ball is not aggressive. I kind of tend to differ. But, you know, I thought we executed very well at the end of the half to end up with a touchdown instead of a field goal.
720 WGN, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Looking around the NFL, up next for the Bears, who, if you're just joining us and did not watch the game today, Bears fell to the Houston Texans 23-14. They led early, and they let it half, and then did not play a very good second half. That's putting it nicely. So the Eagles are up next Monday night, guys. And Philly today, a winner over Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's going to be awful, and RG3 got hurt in the game. But Carson Wentz, rookie quarterback, making his debut today, 22 of 37, a couple of touchdown passes, no interceptions, quarterback rating of 101. So that's about as well as you would ever expect a rookie to do, right, OB? I mean, that's I don't know.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, obviously after the Chip Kelly fiasco,
right,
they're you know, much like Fox, trying to figure out, the new coach Peterson's trying to figure out who can play and who can't, and that's his decision. You know, he's got to figure it out. Well, I applaud him going with their number two overall pick, Carson Wentz. This is a kid that I thought was the, you know, the should have been the first pick, but obviously Jeff Fisher, who didn't come to Buddy Ryan's funeral, thought better of, and that's why he went with the guy that he took, Jeff Goff.
Is he like 6'6", 6'7"?
Yeah, he's big kid, big strong kid. And you know what? He came out of nowhere.
And Wentz is starting, Goff is not.
Goff is off. The one thing is, we will have, hopefully, a wonderful game plan for this young rookie to think about during the course of the game. And, you know, that's one thing that Ed Donatell, the defensive back coach, you know, it hurts today that Jacoby Glenn got nicked up, that Fuller had to leave the game. Hopefully we'll have those guys back. We'll have them on deck. But, I playing against a rookie, and I think, and I've told you, I think Vic Fangio may be the best coach in football. You know, things didn't work out so great today, but I think I feel very confident, hopefully, he'll come up with a game plan that makes this kid look like a rookie.
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, he's the one guy in this entire coaching staff that I would hang my hat with and say he knows what he's doing. He made adjustments. You know what? The defense kept us in this game today.
He's also not painful to listen to. Like, Vic Fangio.
Yeah, he'll tell you the truth.
Right.
He'll say, hey, look, I need the rook out here practicing or else it's going to be hard to play him. You think it was his decision to play him as much as he played him today? No chance.
Yeah, no.
Would you agree, Hamp? No way. Because I'll tell you what, Young is a much better option at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Lamar Houston, in the preseason, Sam Acho looked as good as any of the pass rushers we had.
Yeah, I get a rotation.
I'd split his time. But, you know, technically, again, you know, Shea McClellan would be out of the picture screen every play. At least this kid's around the ball. And he got in on
a pass
sack,
rush.
It wasn't a great – it wasn't a Freddie Dean or a Bubba Baker Hall of Fame move. He just he's quick. He has a little relentless side to him that he keeps his feet moving. Boom, and he gets through the quarterback. It's a great thing. Would I start him? No. Would I play him over some of the other players? No. But it's obvious that Ryan Pace and John Fox – are going to stick these rookies, you know, out there as much as they can.
3129.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come this week, everybody better get down to business. Everybody, the coaches, the players, there are too many mistakes made. Not enough, not that great an effort by all 11 on one side, 11 on the other. It wasn't there. So I'm going to tell you what. This is a week. Nobody gets a day off. Everybody come in, we're going to hunker down because we've got the Eagles come in, and this is a game that you cannot lose.
Well, and you get extra practice time this week, right?
You have an extra day, but it's all mandated by the league. I mean, they can't.
Oh, yeah, no, but you can still watch film. You can still work out. You can still, hey, look, there's no rule against you and your quarterback going out and running routes together, throwing the ball around. There's no rule against that,
Mark. All hands on deck, pal.
Right.
This game is huge.
You know, I mean, let me just say this. I was given the illustration of Martellus Bennett, and I remember last year I was talking to someone. It was one of the somebody on Fox or somebody that did the games, and they went to the practice on Saturday, and they said everybody went in, and Tom Brady and Gronkowski threw this certain little hook and go in the end zone. They ran the route at least 30 times after practice, almost at a live tempo on a Saturday, the day before the game. in the third quarter, they used that particular route for a touchdown that beat, I think it was Denver when Denver came in there last year. I'm just saying, it pays off. Why don't these coaches not only encourage it, mandate it, and say, until you play a game where you do not make mistakes, you are going to do this. And you know what? If the rest of the team's got their stuff together, they don't have to be out here. You do.
That's a great point, Danny, and that's got to be the mentality this week. Right now, coming home on that plane, these coaches better get damn serious. Not to say they're not, but I'm going to tell you something. They got to get in a hunker down mode because, again, the schedule is perfect for them. Perfect for them. They're at night game. It's a night game. Philadelphia's coming here. Holy cow, God forbid we get it put to us. Wow.
I want to just echo what Hamp just said and channel my inner Steve Stone and tell you a lesson to all you youngsters out there. You watch the best in the game, any sport, football, basketball, whatever. I mean, Michael Jordan, out there the longest. Kobe Bryant, the same thing.
They work harder than everybody else. They're talented,
but they work harder, too.
Some of the greatest runners in this game, and I was fortunate to play with one of them, okay? Played against a lot, but fortunate. Gale Sayers. When Gale would get the ball, and this is in training camp in Rensselaer, Indiana, and this was year after year, when he ran and there was no contact, Glenn, you know, you just let him snap the ball, defense takes a step, they react, and that's it. Like they do today, and let him go. I've seen backs run through the line, 2-3 steps, drop the ball, and go back. Gale, God is my judge, he'd go back, and you'd sit there and watch him. He'd get through the line, and if somebody – he's juking and faking for 10 to 20 yards. Every play, and it's 90 degrees in Rensselaer on a clay field. And he did it every time. You wonder why the guy was so great? Just to go fortify what Dan said about Brady.
Yeah, but you brought him down, OB. Come on. Huh? You brought him down.
I know. I couldn't. Are you kidding me? I couldn't touch him. He was long gone. There was only one of him. There'll never be another one.
He worked. Nobody worked harder than him. That goes to the point Dan was saying.
I mean, I've seen it. I was actually there. Well, here's a guy that didn't have to do it, but what made him great is that he knew it and he did do it.
Right.
Well, the Hall of Famer that's sitting in the studio right now, how many bench press pounds were you doing a day before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, but that was just who we were. That's what we were. We had a work ethic. You know, Dicker, like I said, we played real hard. We, you know, on and off the field. Yeah, well, you know, all I know is every consummate professional, whether, you know, you've played 5 years or 15 years, we all know what is required, right, OB? You as a champion, you knew if you were cutting corners, skating on some workload, we all know what is required. I don't understand why John Fox now in his, what I call a pseudo-retirement phase of his life, there's no sense of urgency. I went back to the third preseason game and looked at some of that tape the other day, guys. It was an embarrassment. And for him not to, you know, have issues with it, it sends him a huge message to the team. Don't matter.
Yeah, that's really his approach. It's almost like he's in semi-retirement, just kind of cruising through, getting paid, and, you know, he's finishing it up, Ed. Because it's not like he doesn't know the game. He knows the game.
Let me tell you something. If you play in this league long enough, you know, Dan, you played 12, I played 11, and you won a world championship team, and I was on a world championship team. And what you're talking about, Dan, I understand. The players that were on that 63 team and your 85 team, when things started to go south, Glenn, there was a giant difference in personnel, coaches, and players. Huge difference. You knew it.
Yep.
We'll wrap up the show coming back here. I think it was 700 pounds that Hamp doesn't want to talk about. I'll just throw that stat out there for you.
The point of it is, look, you did what you had to do because you wanted to be the best.
Right, right. That's a huge, huge, I think, just thing for people to know. Like, the people that are doing it, it's not just the talent. It's the work ethic. It's everything else, the commitment, everything about it. All right. We'll preview the
Eagles coming in and give you a little more scores. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers had a big day today on the road. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, great to be back with you for another season. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. OB?
Yeah, we just listened to that ad, and that's Otis Wilson doing the ads for Monty Scher, the Rogers Auto Group, South Loop, 26th and Michigan.
There you go. Good to have him on board.
Mama's boy.
Yep, there he is. Good old number 55. Next game preview, sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford, number one in what matters most, and that would be you. We started talking about it with the Eagles coming in, and we've got a rookie quarterback. Changes that do you – I guess
okay, – let's talk about this real quick here. And we're talking about the inadequacy of our coaching staff to not only adapt or change or develop alternative philosophies on offense and personnel and this and that. Look at Philadelphia. They blow up Chip Kelly. They got Sam Bradford. They don't really want him. Minnesota's quarterback goes down. They unload him, clearing the way for this Carson Wentz, a true rookie. Oh, and by the way, he wasn't playing against Notre Dame and Southern Cal every game in college. Where was he playing?
North Dakota State.
North Dakota State. I'm just saying, and to be able to not only develop him, but a team around him, and we know, okay, we know Cleveland's not that great, but my goodness, a win's a win in this league. Right now, the Miami Dolphins with a brand-new coach, Adam Gase, remember him? They're up there. They're beating the Seahawks with about 3 minutes left in the game. So a win is a win. And we better be prepared because apparently these coaches, this Doug Peterson, he knows what he's doing.
Well, let me tell you something. The first thing we do defensively is go after him every play. Every play, send somebody, two or three guys, get in this rookie's face. So try to get some changes, some turnovers. But if you sit back, obviously this kid can throw the ball. He can complete it. He's tall enough, 6'6", 6'7", and he can handle it from being his first start. But my point is, when you go against a rookie quarterback, you're at home, you make him pay the price, you get in his face, and you blitz the hell out of him.
Monday night on the lakefront. Sort of almost feels like the season's kind of on the line, right? You don't want to go to, right?
Make no mistake.
Of course it is.
Yeah, but you know, you wouldn't get that indication from a head coach named John Fox.
You certainly get it from this program.
Yeah. It's week two, but this is the game you're supposed to win. I mean, you got to win. You got to win the games you're supposed
rookie
to win
quarterback
in order to have a
you
shot.
You go after them.
And a team in disarray. Philadelphia, you know, they got run off the coach. They unloaded a bunch of players. And one step further, the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to have a rookie quarterback too when we go down to Texas again. So, you know, this sense of urgency that I have been screaming about now for four weeks. Okay, they all want to play patty cake the first week or two of training camp because it's it's 82.
They did. They didn't even do that. They did nothing.
The whole thing's sickening. But all I'm saying is, sooner or later, you know, you got to pay the fiddler. And they should have been paying it. Well, they better figure it out. They hadn't paid nothing yet. Pay a price this week. As you said, OB, no vet day off, nobody with an owie ankle. Or
I don't
this
want to hear that.
They need it all hands on deck. And your point, is this the season? You know, we're going to go through this week after week. But by God, 0-2 is 0-2.
Mark,
1-1
is
like a restart.
To answer your question, yes, it is.
Right. Well, mathematically, obviously not. But you got a home game on Monday night. You got to start getting some positive vibes going on here. You need to get a W. Then in Dallas, you got a rookie quarterback, but you're going on the road. And by the way, right now, Dallas is beating the Giants 19-13. The Giants are driving, so that's not going to be any cakewalk.
Eli won two Super Bowls, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that. He and his brother both won two Super Bowls.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Well, for a while.
And they make a lot of great commercials, those two, don't they also?
You think those are good?
I think they're hilarious. Oh,
well,
I think they're hilarious.
What? We're here, guys. Let's get our Bears into a few Super Bowls here, and let's win something, and let's get it started this week. No more mental mistakes by the coaching staff.
Great to be with you, gentlemen. We'll see you after the game on Monday night, a late-night edition of Hamp and OB with Kaz. Get you ready for Brian Noonan. Yes, Hamp.
I think we got a pregame maybe from 6 to 7.30,
yes.
Or if not,
yeah.
It's 7 to 7.30. So we're going to scrape up some more insults for John Fox in the pregame.
Won't be hard to find right now. All right. We'll see you next time. Brian Noonan coming up next, 720 WGN.